Lovely to see you all this morning, even though we're still in the rectangles, unfortunately. But it's great just to be able to come together, isn't it? And just share as a fellowship this morning. I'm going to read a few words from Philippians chapter 2 just to kick us off this morning. It says this: though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue can declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this morning, we've come together, haven't we, to declare that Jesus is our Lord. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that we can come together wherever we are, in our own homes, through this wonderful technology Zoom, and we can be together as a fellowship. And this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just come and meet with us where we are. Lord, as we gather together to lift up your name, Lord, we can say this morning that our God reigns, and we can declare that you, Jesus Christ, are our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Let's sing our first song this morning. It's Our God Saves.
Why don't you just worship with me today, wherever you are? Begin to call on him today, yeah. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your name. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We gather together to lift up your name, to fall on our Savior, to call on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. Saints bow down as your people say, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that, and the world will see. to who you are. We worship you, Lord. Set our hearts on fire for you today. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Set our hearts on fire for you.
Father, set our hearts on fire for you this morning. We just come this morning just to worship your wonderful name, because there is hope in that name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, our reading this morning comes from Judges, and Beth's going to come and just read it to us from Judges chapter 11.
At that time, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he went throughout the land of Gilead and Manasseh, including Mizpah in Gilead, and from there he led an army against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. He said, "If you give me victory over the Ammonites, I will give the Lord whatever comes out of my house to meet me when I return in triumph. I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." So Jephthah led his army against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave him victory. He crushed the Ammonites, devastating about 20 towns from Aroer to an area near Minnith and as far away as Abel Keramim. In this way, Israel defeated the Ammonites. When Jephthah returned home to Mizpah, his daughter came out to meet him, playing on a tambourine and dancing for joy. She was his one and only child. He had no other sons or daughters. When he saw her, he tore his clothes in anguish. "Oh, my daughter," he cried out, "you have completely destroyed me. You brought disaster on me, for I have made a vow to the Lord and I cannot take it back." And she said, "Father, if you have made a vow to the Lord, you must do to me what you have vowed, for the Lord has given you a great victory over your enemies, the Ammonites. But first, let me do this one thing. Let me go up and roam in the hills and weep with my friends for 2 months, because I will die a virgin." "You may go," Jephthah said, and he sent her away for 2 months. She and her friends went into the hills and wept, because she would never have children. When she returned home, her father kept the vow he had made, and she died a virgin. So it has become a custom in Israel for young Israelite women to go away for 4 days each year to lament the fate of Jephthah's daughter.
Thanks, Beth. Just before I just share a few words around this passage, looking at Jephthah this morning, Gina's just going to come and just pray with us. So Gina, just come and pray.
Lord, we come into your presence, Lord, what a start of worship and praise to you. And Lord, we thank you for all your goodness to us today. And Lord, I saw Romans 12:12, and it says, "Be joyful in hope, Lord." And you are our hope. You are our strong tower. And Lord, we just thank you. And as it's a day of being thankful, Lord, we've got more than anybody in this country to be thankful for. I know they've talked about the NHS and all that you've carried us through. And let us just be silent for a minute and just thank you, Lord, in our own hearts for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you that whatever's happened in the last year, that we know that you will carry us. We know that you are faithful to us, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we've always got a hope in you, that we've always got a church family that will be praying for us, that will support us. We've always got your word. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will always be faithful to you, always bring all things to you in prayer. And Lord, we think of all those that are struggling at this moment. We think of Jenny's Mother Dorothy, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bring your healing to her. And we pray for Aggie, John's sister, Lord, that's going through chemotherapy and struggling at this time. And we think of Nick's back, Lord, we pray that you will heal that. And Lord, anyone else, Lord, in the church family, Lord, that we know that's struggling, that might be low, that might even be afraid of coming out of COVID, Lord, that you would bring your peace and your comfort to them as only you can. And Lord, help us to remember to connect with them, to ring them up or send them a card, Lord, especially those that are not being able to be on Zoom all these months, Lord. And Lord, we also think of what's been happening in the world with Miami and the landslide the other day in Japan. Lord, be with those, Lord, that are had their world devastated through death of loved ones, through war, through conflict, through famines, Lord. We just think of all those that life is not normal in any way and might not be normal for a long time. And we also lift up all those that are in prison for your name, all those that are suffering for your name, Lord. Help us to remember them in our prayers. Lord, let you be their comfort and their joy and their peace, Lord, whatever they're going through, Lord. So, Lord, we just bring all of this with thanks and praise, Lord, that you are ever present in a time of need. And we just eagerly await to listen to what Nick's got to say for us. But we thank you and help us to be joyful and thankful at all times because you are a great God. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Gina.
Got any lemonade?
A few ones.
Milk! Ugh!
Swanny and Rush drinks.
Ian Rush?
Yeah, and he said if I didn't drink lots of milk, when I grow up, I'm going to be good enough to play for Accrington Stanley.
Accrington Stanley? Who are they?
Exactly. Now get off.
Give me some.
Get off.
Accrington Stanley? Who are they? And you know, that's what I thought when I got Jephtha. I can just move my slides on. I didn't get to talk about Gideon, Deborah, or even Samson. I got Jephtha. Who is he? Let's take a look, shall we, and see what we can learn from his story this morning. Now, I wonder if you ever feel like you're going round and round in circles, or have asked yourself, I think we've been here before. I've often spent hours of my time following a piece of computer code, only to find out it just keeps looping back to where it started. And if it's particularly complex code, I get lost to the reason I was looking at in the first place. And now this is a little like the Israelites in the book of Judges. Time and again, we see them go around the same circle. They sin, God hands them over to be oppressed, they cry out to God in repentance, and then God raises up a person to deliver them and get them out of the mess they're in. So before we get to the passage that Beth read to us this morning, let's fill in a little of the backstory and see where it all went wrong this time. Well, we read back in chapter 10 that the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, completely abandoning God, no longer serving him at all. They'd gone back to living with the locals, even to the extent of worshipping their gods. A timely reminder that we're called as Christians to be in the world, but not of it. Not holding on to its values, but rather God's. And for 18 years, God allowed the Philistines and the Ammonites to oppress the Israelites until they cried out to the Lord for help, eventually repenting and turning once again to serving the Lord. And this is where Jephtha enters our story. We're told that he was a great warrior, the son of a prostitute whose half-brothers chased him away and made him flee his homeland, Gilead. He went from having military leadership and probable social prominence to hanging out with a bunch of rebels far from the home he knew and grew up in. When the Ammonites attacked Jephthah's homeland, the elders soon asked him to come back, promising to make him commander and then ruler of the land. And once installed as ruler, Jephthah, to his credit, tried to solve the conflict by a diplomatic route rather than a military one. And, you know, this reminds me of the old BT adverts, which carried the slogan, "It's good to talk." Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." It's not just what we say, but how we say it that's crucial. Listen to what Paul says in the Ephesians as he talks about unity. "Now these are the gifts of Christ given to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown around by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. And here it comes. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." You know, I can certainly think of a few times when I wished and I'd have stopped and asked myself, what might Jesus say or do here? Which might have saved a lot of heartache and worry in the long run. So we need to speak out the truth, remembering to do it with a Christ-like love to those we're talking to. Now, I'm not sure if love was at the forefront of Jephthah's mind when he sent his message to the Ammonite king, but he certainly made his position clear by explaining that the land they occupied was not stolen, but given to them by God some 300 years before, and would therefore not be given back. And he finishes his message by saying that the Lord was to decide who was right and who was wrong. And there's another lesson right there. Sometimes we just have to give our problems over to God and trust him to help us out. Of course, that's not to say that we bury our heads in the sand and hope it all goes away, but recognizing that God can and does help us when we call on him. And it's worth remembering, preferably before the situation gets too far out of hand. And there are lots of verses in the Bible which assure us of God's help when we call on him. How about this from Mark 11, verse 22? Jesus said to his disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe that it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." Well, how about this from Psalm 37? "Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord, trust in him and he will help you." And I guess you may have your own favorite verses to turn to too. So it all seems to be going really well for Jephthah as we get to the part of the story we've read about. We see in chapter 11, the first verse we read, verse 29, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he led his army into battle. God was with him and equipping him for the task ahead. Then out of the blue, he makes the biggest mistake of his life, vowing to sacrifice to the Lord the first thing that comes out of his house. Let's be clear here. God didn't ask for any kind of sacrifice. It's as though Jephthah was trying to buy God's favor, the favor that he already had. We see here how far the Israelites had wandered away from God's laws. Either Jephthah didn't know or had completely forgotten that God forbade any form of human sacrifice. And we see this in Deuteronomy, where Moses calls all the people together to lay out God's decrees and commandments. Chapter 18, verse 10, "Never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. God values and still values all humans' life. And you know, God's favour cannot be bought. It is something he gives freely if we're simply obedient to him. And it's out of his love for us and the offering of his son on the cross that we find favour and come into true, meaningful, alive relationship with him. The only sacrifice we're required to make is to release our entire lives to Jesus, for him to be able to raise us into a new life with him. Or as Paul puts it in Romans, we should consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus. And it doesn't get any better for Jephthah. Things seem to spiral downwards from here. On the surface, he wins the battle as the Lord gave him the victory. And at that moment, he must have been very happy. That's until he returns home to see his only child, his daughter, coming to meet him. And we see him now compounding his error by putting some of the blame for the words he spoke in haste onto his daughter. "You've completely destroyed me. You've brought disaster upon me," he said in verse 35. And you know, it never ends well when we try to blame others for our own mistakes. Look at Adam and Eve. "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." And where did all that lead? Banishment from the garden and separation from God's presence. But isn't it wonderful that even then God had a plan to restore that broken relationship? And you know, I think God would have restored Jephthah and released him from his vow if only he'd asked. Remember Abraham and Isaac? As he was about to bring down the knife to slay his son, God said, "Stop." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And this morning, we only have to ask. There's nothing we've done, nothing we've said that God cannot forgive us for. Things could have ended so differently for Jephthah if he had asked God to forgive him for his rash words. And I'm sure that God would have provided a substitute sacrifice in place of his daughter. After all, he provided a substitute sacrifice for you and me in Jesus. But you know, I think we could learn something from Jephthah's daughter here too. She didn't just come out walking to meet him. She was full of joy, dancing and playing the tambourine, welcoming the victor home. I wonder if that's how we feel when we think about Jesus and all the things he's accomplished in our lives. And in her excitement, our spirits dancing for joy when we meet him on a daily basis. This morning, right now, when you think on Jesus, how does it make you feel? If not full of joy and excitement, ask God to refresh you right where you sit. Wait on him for a new infilling of his spirit into your very core, igniting a passion for more of him until it overflows and you can contain it no longer. Then see how effective you will be in his ministry and work he has for you, no longer working in the natural, but the supernatural. Hallelujah. What does it say in Matthew 19:26? With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Not some things or the occasional thing, but all things are possible when we rely and we trust on God. And Jephthah's daughter, she was also obedient to her father's wishes. She could have run off into the hills and not come back, but back she came, knowing the consequences. And you know, sometimes it takes real guts and a huge leap of faith to obey what our Heavenly Father is asking us to do. What does the verse say again? With God, all things are possible. We're going to just pause for a minute and we're going to listen to a song. And I'll ask us to open our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we listen. Maybe you need to God to do something specific for you this morning. Just ask him to touch and heal you as this song plays. The sort of chorus of this song says this: "You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand. Undefeated, every battle you've won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated, with the one who has conquered it all. And my prayer is that as we listen, we will really believe these words and allow God to give us a deeper understanding of what it really means to be seated in heavenly places with the undefeated champion, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's listen and just open our hearts and just ask God to do something for us this morning.
We wait on you. We are children of God, children of God. That is who we are. I've tried so hard to see. Took me so long to believe it. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection can never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken things and raise them to glory. giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I'm seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with one.
Heavenly Father, this morning we can come to you with confidence, knowing that you are our undefeated champion. You have conquered it all, and we can sit with you in heavenly places. Father, you have given us authority in Jesus' name to speak out your word. And Lord, this morning I pray for a new infilling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you will come and touch each and every one of us. Lord, that we will just begin to open ourselves. Lord, that you will just begin to set us on fire for you. Lord, Father, stir our hearts this morning, I ask. Lord, give us that assurance, that authority, that we can defeat giants in Jesus' name. And this morning I pray, Lord, that you will just begin to move amongst us as individuals, as a fellowship. You will just begin to pour out your spirit in a new way amongst us, so we can begin to see things we have never seen before in our fellowship. We can begin to do things in your name that we have never seen before. Father, I thank you that you have given us authority in the name of Jesus to do these things. And Father, thank you that you are undefeated. We can sit in heavenly places with you, our undefeated champion. Hallelujah. As BT said, it's good to talk. But you know, I think God might also be saying, it's good to listen. Listen for his voice to gain an understanding of God, of what God would have us do. Listen to his voice and listen to the voices of those around us acting to support and encourage where needed. All that before we listen to our own voice. And in other words, I remember from my Sunday school days, to have real joy, it's Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. You know, this morning, he is our champion, the one who's conquered it all. Hallelujah. And I really hope this morning that God has spoken to you in some way, as I've just shared just a few thoughts from this guy, Jephthah, and the Holy Spirit has just begun to do something new in your life. Continue as we go through the weeks ahead, reminding yourself that he is our champion, and there's nothing that we cannot do, nothing that we cannot achieve when we have him as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We're going to finish with a good old hymn now. And it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess him, King of Glory now. Let's just sing our final song for this morning.
Every tongue confess.
And so, Heavenly Father, as we just finish our service this morning, I just pray that you'll just be with us. Lord, continue to minister to us. Continue to just reveal yourself to us as we continue to move forward. Thank you, Father, for all the things you've accomplished on the cross of Calvary for us. And Lord, that we confess and say that you are indeed King of Glory. You are indeed our champion. There is nothing that you've done that you've been defeated by. You are our undefeated champion and the one who has indeed conquered it all. Amen.